welcome to the Create Something Awesome Today podcast, where it's all about educating and motivating creative pros and entrepreneurs from around the world with simple and easy to implement ideas. And of course, helping you create something awesome today. And now, welcome your host. He is the founder of Awesome Creator Academy, a YouTube educator, and the biggest Star Wars nerd you'll ever meet, Roberto Blake.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the show. This is Roberto Blake helping you create something awesome today. Today I really want to talk about something important. You know that I'm a big proponent of building your own brand and using platforms and content as a vehicle to get your message out there, whether you want to do entertainment, education, or inspire and motivate people. Hopefully I'm doing all three of those things for you in my own way. But there is an issue in the influencer space that I think is rarely talked about because it's one of the deepest fears that most influencers have, and that's the fear of becoming irrelevant. And I understand where that's coming from, partly because if you become an influencer, you're essentially commoditizing attention. If nobody is listening or watching or engaging, then what's your overall value becomes a question that you have to, you know, answer to. And so with that in mind, I kind of want to push back on the idea of relevancy because I think it matters less than people think. There's a thesis that I have that comes down to the fact that instead of worrying about being relevant, you should worry about becoming undeniable. Because I think that what's relevant shifts so dramatically. And if you try to be mainstream, and I've talked about this before, many of you are chasing the idea of, you know, getting in front of a million people or millions of people. And that doesn't last. It has a shelf life and it's shorter than you think it is. And so I want to talk about how you build your brand to go the distance, how you build a brand that doesn't last a decade, but last decades. I mean, when you think about people who are undeniable, I think of people like Tony Robbins, or I think of Jim Rohn, or I think of, you know, someone whose legacy has outlived them, like Steve Jobs, and somebody who, you know, has stood the test of time as a self-made man, like Warren Buffett. You know, these are the people that I usually tend to think about when it comes to building an undeniable brand. Or if you want to look at historical figures who made a great impact, it's not always about building a successful business. If you want to talk about legacy, then you have to look at, you know, people like Martin Luther King. If you want relevant examples of people who've built a brand that's really going to last and outlive them off of their creativity, you have to think about J.K. Rowling. You have to think about Oprah Winfrey, right? So that's really kind of what I want to dig into in today's episode. But for those of you who are trying to build your brand on YouTube, I have a little bit of advice from today's sponsor.
We thrive thanks to the support from our sponsors. Here's a word from one of them.
When it comes to knowing what's in demand in the YouTube space, which is massively competitive, one of the best things you can do is optimize your keywords for your titles and your descriptions and even your tags. And that's where today's sponsor comes in. TubeBuddy, as you guys know, is my secret weapon when it comes to YouTube search and ranking. A lot of people are very dismissive about the value of YouTube search and they think search is dead, but YouTube is on track to surpass its parent company Google as the number one search engine in the world. And YouTube has over 2 billion active users and backbone of that platform is still search. It's still the search engine. So go check out TubeBuddy at TubeBuddy.com/awesome and use discount code Roberto's Buddy and they will hook you up with 20% off. Also, if you are a paying member of TubeBuddy, you get access to my YouTube starter kit for 50% off, as well as some free sample templates for those of you who are on the free version of TubeBuddy. So make sure you're checking them out at TubeBuddy.com/awesome. I'm going to link to it in the show notes. Let's talk about relevancy. You know, personally, I tend to really pride myself on being irrelevant because I try to avoid chasing trends. And the thing is, sometimes it's okay. I understand leveraging attention. I've taught many of my students in Awesome Creator Academy to leverage attention, but I think that there's a way to do it that builds your brand instead of making you a one-hit wonder. And I think a lot of people are just trying to cash in so much on virality or easy AdSense money, or, you know, blowing up and going viral, whether it's in, you know, Instagram or on Twitch. They're chasing being, you know, the top dog so much, or, you know, being the next big thing, that they're missing the bigger picture. The bigger picture is, what do you do when this stuff isn't cute anymore? What do you do when you wake up and you're 30 or 35, married with kids, whatever, right? What's your brand then? You know, are you going to be a 35-year-old doing prank videos on YouTube? Are you going to be a 45-year-old, you know, competitive Twitch gamer? Is that going to be real for you? I mean, are you building your brand to where you're going to be able to do stand-up comedy in your 50s? Like, you have to really think about your end game and the reality that you're going to get older. And inevitably, at some point, unfortunately, you're going to pass away. Unless you decide to become a cyborg like me, you know, in which case, you know, you'll see what that's like. You know, it's like Emperor Roberto Cyborg Edition, you know, Vader style, right? But, you know, all jokes aside, you know, we all have to reconcile our actions today with our end game and our overall mortality. And I think that's something that a lot of influencers and would-be influencers aren't bargaining for. And I think that while as morbid as that sounds and as unpleasant as that sounds, the reality is you have a unique opportunity, if you're listening to this, to build a legacy. You have access to the internet, you have access to the global marketplace, and you could build something that stands the test of time. Now, in your early 20s, if you, you know, decide to do this kind of thing, and like there are a lot of, you know, creators that are out there that have, you know, blown up, and they're what you see. They're the top, you know, tier, the YouTube millionaires, the Twitch streamers, you know, making $250,000 a month, the Instagram models doing six-figure brand deals, right? That's real. And I don't take anything away from those people. This isn't a criticism or an indictment of them. If anything, though, it is somewhat of a cautionary tale, because the world is a trap in some ways when it comes to the economics of it, right? And that's not to be overly cynical, it's just the truth. And what I mean by the world is a trap is it's designed to siphon money from you, right? The world is not designed to make you wealthy. The opportunity exists, but the world's not designed to make you rich, right? Or we'd all be following that pattern. So the world's not designed and not here for you to build wealth. The world is here to siphon that value from you in terms of the dollars that you earned. In your day-to-day life, if you actually audit your daily spending, you'll realize that there's a lot of impulse buying and frivolous things, and that you are spending about maybe $20 to $30 a day that you don't need to, which adds up to about, you know, a good, like at that rate, we're talking about what? An extra $600 a month, an extra $6,000, $5,000, $6,000 a year that you could be pocketing if it wasn't that you're falling into this trap. And if you get a little bit of money, you start making six or seven figures, especially when you're young and in your 20s. You know, when you're young in your 20s and you're successful, everyone thinks you're a genius. But here's the reality, is that you haven't lived your life in the real world for even a decade yet. And so you don't really have the experience of managing money and managing that wealth if you should happen to acquire it. And for those of you who listen to this who are, you know, a little bit older, you can appreciate and you know what I'm talking about, which means if your kids are saying they want to be an influencer, you might need to either help them manage their money, or you might need to put somebody in charge, because maybe you've never managed that much money. You've never been that successful. You may not be a good steward over your child's money, to be very real with you. We've had a lot of people whose parents have bankrupted them by mismanaging the money that their children earned. And so when you think about these things, the world has all these things that when you get the money, you feel like you have to keep up with the Joneses, or keep up with the Kardashians is the new one, right? So you end up buying that car to impress people. You end up stepping up your wardrobe to impress people. And then, especially in social media, there's this thing called flexing, right? So you have people who show off their wealth and their opulence, and in return, it gets so much attention because it's so outlandish that it gets them more attention and makes them more money, but they keep upping the ante. That's not sustainable. And I'm sure that some of these people have investments in the back end or are part owner in turnkey businesses that will make them an income for the foreseeable future. So I don't think they're necessarily going to go to the poorhouse. Some of them will, many of them won't. But what I do think is that from the outside in, for people that are on the come up and people who are going to arrive, I think that there's not a lot of education around this. And I think that chasing those dollars and chasing relevancy and then trying to be one of the cool kids is a trap that sets you up for long-term failure. Because as somebody who's been in YouTube for a while and watched this play out, there are a lot of people, there are a lot of like very successful YouTube channels where they were raking in the cash. Those channels have been dead for a while. There are channels that, you know, they still make some money. They still get the back catalog of views, and that's great. And that's passive income. And maybe they made the majority of their money up front, and I hope they didn't spend it. But you have out of the few thousand channels that are gold play button channels that don't belong to media companies or don't belong to content farms, that belong to individual homegrown YouTubers. And it's fewer than you would think. A lot of them are old school YouTubers that are no longer considered relevant, and many of them are no longer active and uploading. Some of them struggle to get any views at all, despite, you know, their previous history and their previous success. Their time has passed, so to speak. Some of them aged out of their content and out of their demographic. Some of them, the niche that they were in, died with a culture shift in YouTube or a shift in policy or a shift in the platform, or the audience outgrew them and they couldn't adjust to the new culture. And it happens more often than you would think. And there are a lot of quote unquote relevant channels right now that are in decline, because what nobody tells you about this whole social media thing is that if you become a social media influencer, it usually has a lifespan in terms of you being relevant of 3 to 8 years. And this is real, and people have done studies on this, right? I've been looking at it, and I don't have a case study, but I have it more anecdotally, and I'm part of the community, and I've watched this. It's more likely that somebody's influencer status, regardless of platform, starts to plateau at about 3 to 5 years, and then it declines. Most people don't continue to grow. And that's, you know, it feels bad and it's a shame, but here's the more important aspect of that is when your only, real money that you've experienced or made in life comes from that identity as an influencer and from cashing in on your relevance and your ability to harness attention and tap into trends, when that's over, what do? How do you support yourself? Or do you just live off of the money that you've made up until now? And see, that's something that nobody is willing to talk about because it's scary. And then, you know, there's criticism. Someone like me, someone who hasn't made my first $1 million a year income just yet. I make six figures. I do all right. Who am I to tell these more successful people what to do, right? The difference is, in many cases, because I'm in my mid-30s, I've lived a while. I'm 10 years, a lot of these people senior, and I made decent money before becoming an influencer or even before becoming a coach and becoming an entrepreneur. I made money in the real world. I think I capped out at like somewhere in the neighborhood of 40 to 50K a year. And the reason I don't know the exact thing is because I freelanced in addition to earning a corporate salary. So, if I count hustle side income and then my actual what's on my W-2, then, you know, it varies year to year. But let's just say it was like $40,000, $50,000 a year. And then we adjust for like, you know, inflation over time since leaving the industry. And it's probably around there. That's the median salary of most working people, most working professionals in America today, right? Abroad, it's going to be probably a little bit lower in some places, And then you have to adjust for the cost of living outside the United States. Places like Australia have a much higher overall cost of living. So that's something I'm very sympathetic to, because I talk to a lot of business owners and creators, you know, out there. And when I think about that fact, when I think about the fact that the median average salary working in the States is about 40 to 50K a year, and I think about a lot of these young influencers in their late teens and their early and mid 20s that made their way to six or seven figures very early in life, I don't think they have an appreciation and a respect for the fact that that is wildly abnormal, and that for many people, that heyday doesn't last, and that they might not have developed or understood transferable skills for when they're no longer relevant in that world of media and entertainment. Now, some people can make a transition and pivot into the back end of the business, but that has to do with whether they were business savvy to begin with and whether they've planned for that long term. There are going to be smart people in the influencer space that pivot to the back end of the business around influencer marketing and make their real money there. They're going to look at people like Gary Vaynerchuk, and they're going to build out a multi-tier approach to putting their tentacles, if you will, into every aspect of the industry they're playing in, and not worry about just being a face for the rest of their life, because they do realize that that doesn't last. They realize that by looking at their own role models and their own, you know, people that they were a fan of in the past and where they are today and whether they're still relevant or not. And so that's why I genuinely believe in not worrying about being relevant and being undeniable instead. And so how do you build a lasting brand? How do you become undeniable? Well, it depends on what you build your brand around and how you leverage your attention. I'll give you a couple of examples here. You know, it's funny. A friend of mine who's a student in Austin Creator Academy, Chris Boutte, Rewired Soul, is a YouTuber that in the past year has grown from, at least as the recording of this audio, think from 1,000 or was it 2,000 subscribers to 70,000 in a year. He's one of my best success stories for deploying the tactics that I teach around social media growth and leveraging attention. And the strategy that Chris has been using is tapping into the brand of other people's influencers as influencers to teach mental health, and also to have the conversation of mental health and addiction around social media, which is a conversation that's not going away, because influencers will continue to rise in these different platforms. The mental health concerns will continue to grow. There will be more research and studies around this topic. As somebody who has a, you know, a background with addiction and abuse, and somebody who, you know, worked at an outpatient facility, somebody who himself is an admitted addict in the past and is, you know, years of sobriety, he can speak to these issues in a meaningful way, and it doesn't diminish his brand at all. And he himself doesn't have to, quote unquote, be relevant. That's the interesting thing. When the topic, when the subject matter, when what you're covering is always going to be in demand, then you yourself don't have to worry about being irrelevant, because the information that you convey will always be relevant. And so you become an information broker. And, you know, knowledge is power, and it's a commodity that you can always trade on, even beyond attention itself. And so that is really powerful. And that's why I could definitely see that, you know, regardless of when you're listening to this, I think that it's not going to be that difficult for him to get to 250,000 subscribers, 500,000 subscribers as a, you know, a mental health YouTuber, because he's, you know, using the attention that's around social media as a jump off point for the broader conversation of mental health, which affects the far majority of people, regardless of whether they're an influencer or not. And the person, you know, people are consumers of influencers, so it makes perfect sense. And so I think that that's just like kind of an interesting anecdote of somebody who's doing this very well and tapped into it. But the thing is, you know, Chris is, I believe he's 30, 32, and I don't see it being a problem for him to sustain that brand for 5 to 10 years plus. He's writing a book series right now. Those books are going to have demand and market value because he has an audience that will buy from him. So that's leverage. That's going to get his name out there. But the books themselves are value. And books, if you want a legacy, if you want a long-term brand, if you're worried about, oh, well, social media fad, is social media going to die? Writing books is an asset that makes your brand stronger and undeniable. Podcast is on-demand audio, and the vanity metrics, like, nobody knows if a podcast is in decline except if it stops uploading. And even then, the back catalog, if it's good enough, people will still listen to it because it becomes the equivalent of an audiobook for them. So, I mean, I think that audio assets, and I think books and ebooks are a foundation point of a legacy brand. I think that that goes far beyond, say, merchandise. You know, even licensed tangible products, and obviously video, unless you make something that is long term, such as films, animation, things of that nature that have replay value. But what's the real replay value of the way that most influencers are going about their brand, right? That is something that I don't think is taken into enough consideration. I don't think there's a long term plan. I don't think most influencers think that far past their 30-month check or their next brand deal or the next video that they're putting out. And I've talked to enough people to know that that's usually true. At best, most influencers think a year out, but a 5-year plan seems out of the question. But I also understand that because they're living in the moment and because the whole influencer thing is predicated on audience attention and on trending topics. If you want to be massively successful, and the problem with that is it's fickle as hell, and you know it. You all know it. If you think of what some of the biggest channels were just 5 years ago, let's wind the clock back to 2014, 2013, something like that. What were some of the biggest things in YouTube, for example? Like, Twitch wasn't even that big just yet, so I'm going to use YouTube just because it's the most quote-unquote relevant example. The biggest, like, content creators I think I remember of that era were Epic Mealtime and Freddie Wong, you know, with Rocket Jump and doing all kind of that stuff. Video Game High School was a big deal at the time. I think that, you know, these Corridor Digital, these were some of the, like, the biggest, most successful channels on the platform at the time. Obviously, you know, you had the rise of PewDiePie, but who still has managed to stay relevant by tapping into meme culture. He had to constantly change his content and evolve. And then think about who's made a comeback to like Shane Dawson is, you know, very relevant right now. And, you know, his channel was in decline for quite a while. You know, Graveyard Girl, you have a lot of influencers that can evolve and change with the times and make a comeback. And you have some who ultimately, you know, fade away. I remember when Toby Turner was a very big deal, you know, in the platform, in YouTube, and through, you know, various scandals, his channel went into decline. You have channels that go viral or go big. A primary example of channels that grow fast but die fast, the commentary community in YouTube, commentary channels. Grade A Under A was one of the fastest rising channels in YouTube, and gone, dead channel, millions of subscribers, you know, hundreds of thousands to millions of views per video, done, over. It's interesting how fickle all of this is and how easily it can go away. But I think that the principles that I'm trying to instill in people are not to chase relevancy, but to become undeniable, to build a brand that you can live in and profit from for the rest of your life, and that makes an impact that might actually outlive you. And so that's why even a lot of my focus, a lot of people are like, Roberto, why don't you focus more on YouTube? Or why don't you talk about YouTube trends? Or why don't you do that? You would go much bigger. You would blow up. You haven't even done a viral video yet. And That's interesting. And yeah, there's value. And yes, I can make a lot of money doing that. And I don't think YouTube is going to go away in the next 5 to 10 years, to be very real with you guys. I think everybody who believes that is full of it. But I do think the platform will evolve and change. I think that something no one takes into consideration is the fact that policies can change. Government regulation can change the entire landscape of social media practically overnight. We're seeing that right now with Article 13 in the EU. So I think that a lot of people just aren't accounting for those kind of things. I don't think they have that foresight, or they don't think that deeply about it. But I do. And I am more focused on the concept of developing sustainable online businesses in the 21st century, building a personal brand so that you have ownership of your relationships, ownership of the relationship with your audience, ownership over your body of work, and developing your skills and your knowledge. Because if you build, you know, you build this channel around being funny or pretty or relevant, when you inevitably get older, and you can't appeal to that young demographic, or they outgrow you and they're like embarrassed that they watched you now and because they're older, or, you know, something happens in your life that changes your circumstances, well, what do? If all you knew was, well, I make, you know, stuff on the internet and I make money, you know, trading on my personality instead of trading on your skills, or you don't understand how to transfer and deploy those skills. Because I'm not trying to bag on influencers. I think they get enough of that from the mainstream media. This isn't, you know, a lesson. This is a learning opportunity. This is a developmental growth opportunity. I'm trying to teach more influencers to look at the fact that they can transfer their experience with social media and content development and creation to build production companies, or to build consultancies, or to do back-end, you know, analytics, or to work consulting brands directly about their internal marketing, become a VP of marketing. You know, in my interview with Marques Brownlee, MKBHD, he was young when he started YouTube. He was 14 years old. He didn't know that this would last a decade. He didn't know that the website would still be around as clunky as it was when he got started. And he was there pretty much from the very beginning of YouTube. And when he went to college, because again, he started this at 14 years old, he was about 4 or 5 years into his YouTube career. When he went to college for business, because he realized that he might want the job of the, you know, CMO or the VPs of marketing that he was engaging with to get products to review, that he might want that job someday and work with the new influencers. If YouTube went away tomorrow, I'm fully confident that people like Marques Brownlee and people like Jonathan Morrison, TLD Today, would be able to have production companies that would absorb the business away from most of the ad agencies in terms of the product videos and commercials for laptops and smartphones and consumer technology, because they've proven they have that capability to produce something on par or greater than most of those agencies and production companies. I really believe that that would be a natural progression and evolution for those content creators, and they would make equal or more money doing it. So, I mean, that's an exit strategy in terms of deploying, you know, actual skills. Gary Vee went from being an influencer in the wine world and building his personal brand and writing his book to building VaynerMedia and being able to, and by understanding social media, he built, you know, an agency, which he calls his communications Death Star, which I think is very appropriate. And I also, you know, have seen him branch out into these other ventures and become an investor in various aspects of the influencer world. He has Vayner Talent to manage successful, profitable influencers and grow them even bigger. He has a talent agency in that regard. He has that stable of influencers from his own community that can afford his services. Now he has Vayner Speakers, which one day I hope maybe I'm a part of, where he's now, you know, influencing the speaker world, and they actually do events through Vayner itself. There's so much that he's put himself into, like I said, just like those tentacles reaching out to where he has a stake in various aspects of the industry. But he started, you know, as being a talent himself within the industry, doing 6 years on YouTube and Vidler of doing Wine Library TV, 1,000 episodes, then another 800 on the Gary V YouTube channel before the Ask Gary V show and Daily V. Now there are about roughly, I would say about, as of the recording of this, maybe 2,500 videos on the Gary Vaynerchuk YouTube channel. They did an Ask Gary V, YouTube channel that's over 100,000 plus subscribers. I remember when it started as Entrepreneurship Explained, and it was Gary's attempt at teaching entrepreneurship to see, can it be taught? And then they changed it, and that became the Ask Gary V channel and so on and so forth. But that's evolved, and it's interesting to see like how much you have to adapt and change and pivot and evolve. I mean, to bring up Gary again, Gary did 800 plus videos and was at 28,000 subscribers or so when the Ask Gary V show started on his main YouTube channel. I mean, can you imagine putting in 7, 8 years, 800 pieces of content and still not be at 100K? Because a lot of you aren't even willing to put in 100 videos to get to 1,000 subscribers, 10,000 subscribers. MKBHD, Marquez Brownlee, did 100 videos to get to 78 subscribers. And people quit because it's not happening fast enough. They're not getting the attention that they want. And they despair at the idea that they're irrelevant and nobody cares and nobody's watching and nobody's listening and nobody's giving them hearts on Instagram and nobody's, you know, following them on Twitter. Everyone wants this attention. Everyone wants to have a voice, and they have nothing to say. But I digress. The thing that I want to get at here is the patience to build a brand for a decade, let alone live in that brand for a decade, and then keep going, is very rare, which is why most people don't make it. And even people who make it don't keep it. And that's kind of where, you know, I've been going with this. This is a longer episode, obviously, but I really believe in what I'm talking about here, that you have to think about the long game. You have to imagine, what is my story? What do people say about me at age 25, 30, 35, 40, 50? Who am I to them? What am I going to look back at 60 years old and tell my kids or my grandkids that I was doing and how I got where I am? You have to think about those things. And I'm not saying you can't be young and childish and reckless. I'm saying you have to have an exit strategy from that brand and know what's sustainable. You realize, I mean, I'm not gonna call anyone out. I have personal friends that I've come up with in this space that have exited channels, abandoned their channel and their audience at 150,000 subscribers, at 250,000 subscribers. They've stopped uploading. They've quit. They're done. And do you know why? They outgrew their brand and they don't know what their voice is anymore. They don't know, and they're on a journey to rediscover themselves, or they've moved on into a new adventure. And for some of them, that's their family. For some of them, it's world travel. Some of them have moved into a completely different niche or a different platform. They're done with YouTube. They're done. They're gone. Like, they may come back, but they're not coming back to that same audience, and they're not coming back with that same content. And that's part of it, is that if you start this, especially if you're young, so parents out there, understand that your kids are going to grow up, they're going to become different people. You know this. I know this. But they don't know that. They think that who they are is forever, right? They've got that Peter Pan syndrome thing going on. And what makes them popular, or what's hip, or what's cool today, 2 years from now, they're not going to be interested in slime. 3 years from now, they're not going to be interested in pranks. You know, 5 years from now, they're not going to have bad acne anymore, I hope. And so if their brand and their journey is built on a person they don't even recognize in the mirror anymore, where do they go from there? And so that's why the focus of my content has always been the foundation of figure out who you are and what you're good at, or also learn to be very good at something, learn to develop a skill that is interesting and that you don't find tedious or boring, something enjoyable for you. Develop that skill, go as hard on that skill as you can, leverage that skill as a foundation for building money, and building your brand. And, you know, don't be afraid to talk about it or to talk about the things that you love, but you have to go long term on that. You know, here's something practical in the entertainment world, because we're like, Roberto, that works if you're a coach. Roberto, that works if you're an educator or if you're a motivational speaker. It doesn't work for us doing entertainment. It depends on what you do. You know, if I were doing a Star Wars podcast or YouTube channel, I can talk about Star Wars for the rest of my life, just like Kevin Smith. If I were talking about, you know, gaming and comic books or whatever, again, look at Kevin Smith. You can do that for the rest of your life as long as you maintain a relationship with that core community. If you look at things like, I go to Dragon Con, you know, people, you know, don't necessarily, some people do age out of being a nerd. Most people age into being a nerd, believe it or not. And then once you're a nerd, usually it's a lifetime commitment. It's a lifetime membership. So, I mean, that's just kind of something to keep in mind, is what you're doing, like, sustainable. I mean, I think that it'll be interesting to see what happens with a lot of people in the beauty community and the fashion community, to see if they decide to stick with it in their late 30s, early 40s and 50s and address people their age, because I think that the age demographic representation in the platforms will actually grow and will actually normalize. So that's interesting to me. With regard to streaming and gaming, I think that there are people who are coming to it and enjoying it much later in life than you might imagine. I mean, look at what Terry Crews is really into gaming. He even built his own gaming PC. I don't think I've ever seen somebody so excited about technology in my life as Terry Crews, discovering that you can build a computer and do online PC gaming. So, I mean, I think that there is more of a lifespan for some of these things than other things. And I think it's all down to positioning. And I think it's down to your overall approach and the self-awareness to build your brand with thoughtfulness. Okay? Don't go into this completely blind. It's okay if you don't know who you are just yet and you're starting and you want to experiment. But while you're experimenting, and I'll do a whole different episode on this, while you're experimenting, don't expect growth. Manage those expectations, rein them in, and understand that, you know, what you put out into the world, it lasts. And for those who are very lucky, what you put out into the world outlives you. So just make sure that's a good experience for people and that creates some kind of real value for them. And I think that's where I want to end today's episode. I hope you guys enjoyed this. Do me a huge favor. If you're enjoying the Create Something Awesome Today podcast, tweet at me at Roberto Blake. Let me know what you'd love me to cover on the show. And if you have, you know, ideas for guests, then please let me know, like tweet at them, let them know they need to come on the podcast. I would love to do some more interviews. We have a couple of more coming down the pipeline. Just thank you guys so much for the support. It really means a lot. Don't forget to check out the YouTube channel. Also, I'm going to link to some resources in the show notes. So if you're building your brand or your online business, it could definitely help you. And also, I know a lot of you have had questions about some of the merchandise. We actually have the Irrelevant t-shirts and hoodies. So I'm going to link to those in the show notes as well for those of you interested in the merch and supporting the podcast. Thank you to all of the Patreon supporters. We're probably going to set up a tier where we actually shout out some of the higher tier Patreon supporters within the show. So that's great. This is kind of brought to you by, well, listeners like you. Anyway, guys, have a great day wherever you are in the world. And don't forget, go out there and create something awesome today, no matter who is watching or listening. Take care.
Thank you for listening to the Create Something Awesome Today podcast. Hungry for more creative and practical ideas? Why not visit createsomethingawesometoday.com and access all resources and links mentioned in today's show, as well as special bonus content that Roberto regularly crafts for you. Now, go create something awesome today. Createsomethingawesometoday.com.